Praise the Lord. You know, in the days of a lot of rain, some of these guys, like Jim Durkin, they'd have a glass of Coke, Coca-Cola. And he'd say, this is a caffeine anointing. He had the freedom to be himself in the Lord. Isn't that good? Yeah, it is. So you're all, of course, well-equipped to judge what's going on around you in your own personal life, but also what's happening in the church service, in the building. So last week we had Thursday night, Friday, Saturday, and I have to tell you, by Sunday, you know, we were saturated. So we're going to require you to, like, judge the words that, you know, those came up and shared. Maybe you didn't agree with them all. Well, that's okay. You're supposed to, like, compare them and make sure they're correct, to compare them to the Word of God and what's in your heart. So I'm, you know, putting that upon you, not the elders. Certainly, we all need to be equipped and understand what's going on. So without more detail, if you haven't really want to know what that was all about, you can talk to me or any of the elders. Anyway, I was really blessed. There were a lot of things that were good, right? Just really good to have the Lord move in our midst, as he does every Sunday. And you're here for that purpose, to hear the Lord God. And I think that there's something in the prophetic word this morning, you know, the wells having been barred up, and so many of our hearts are like sealed over. The Lord wants to get out of there, right? And that's what Pat was referring to. It's like we need to let that light shine before the world, because we are the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ on the earth today. So the scriptures that I'm going to share this morning, keep in mind, they are before the cross, the suffering on the cross. They are written afterwards, but they were about that which happened before the cross and before the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the church. So you are not in that place. Is that right? For you have accepted and embraced the cross of the Lord Jesus. You've repented of your sins. If you haven't, raise your hand. We'll just pray for you now. And I'm not kidding. If you really think you need to repent of something, please do. But then, amazingly, God did what he said he was going to do. And he poured out his Spirit upon all flesh. And we're the result of that. Wow. So the miracle of the cross is just amplified by what happened on the day of Pentecost. Because then the power of the cross can live in each one of us. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Now, you heard me preach on that forever, right? Hopefully, you're not getting tired of it, though, right? Yeah, keep reminding you. But, okay, so during the week, as I prepare the word, and I usually have it mostly done before the weekend before, but it's like I ask the Lord to give me revelation, what to talk about and what's going on in my heart, because I want to share. It isn't just about the Word of God. It's also me sharing what's on my heart that the Lord put there. So I was thinking about the Lord's Prayer, as I often do. It starts with Our Father who is in heaven. And I don't know who said it, but somebody said, well, for most people, it's like our grandfather who is in heaven. Please give us more candy. Please, when you come over, you know, give us all the gifts that usually grandfathers have. But there's a difference between a grandfather and a father. Is that right? Anybody can verify that? Fathers have an expectation of their children's behavior, and they're keeping an eye on them. Grandfathers, not so much. They're just visiting, and you can give them all the candy, indulge them all you want, give them the gifts that they need. Oh, granddad. I like that part of being a granddad. I really do. I revel in it. But when I was raising my children, I gave them a gift. It wasn't just so they could be blessed, although it was partly. But it was that they could have stewardship over what God has given them through me and family and everything around them. There was expectations in my heart as a father about what was going on. And that's what this chapter in Mark is about. This is chapter 11, if you want to turn there. This is before the cross and before Pentecost. And it was a season in which there was a revelation, a growing revelation of who Jesus was upon the earth. His disciples didn't quite get it, as you can remember. He was even downcast or like saying, oh, man. In the previous chapters we went over a few weeks ago. Well, this one is interesting because he set it up. That is the Lord Jesus. He's walking on the earth after... Now, let me paint you a picture of what Jesus was upon the earth. He wasn't omnipresent and he wasn't omnipotent. That may be a surprise to you, but while he was in the flesh, he called himself the Son of Man. And he only did what he saw the Father was doing because he wasn't omnipresent and he wasn't omnipotent, but the Father was. And then when he went to the cross and went to sit at the right hand of the Father, he restored his forever eternal relationship that never really separated him from the Father. And he became omnipresent and omnipotent once again, all powerful, everywhere. But here in this case, he has to go just like you and me. This is important. Just like you and me, filled with the Spirit. He's the only one that said that John said, the dove came down and he was resident, didn't leave him. He stayed there, which meant he was filled with the Spirit, just like you and me. So he had the same tools that you and I have. Tool one, prayer, conversation with God the Father. Where was Jesus most of the time? In prayer with his Father. That's where he got his understanding. That's where he got his power. That's where he got everything that he knew who he was. Was from that place. We have that same privilege. Isn't that good? That is really awesome. We get to talk to the creator of heaven and earth. You may not understand photons, electrons, and subatomic particles, but he does. He doesn't even forget about them like we do. But he upholds everything by the word of his power. Amen. What a wonder, what a miracle. Well, we can talk to that same God. We do. And some of you prophesied this morning, so you let him use you, almost like a slave. Well, we are slaves to the Lord Jesus. I thought about that this morning as I woke up, and I felt so much better this morning than I have all week. You know, and I said, sure, I have to teach today. They're just using me. Is that so bad? It isn't so bad. It's a good thing. We should rejoice in that. Cheryl was reminding me when she was pregnant, she would have like women's meetings and things going on all the time. And whenever the Lord had a meeting, she felt wonderful. And then 5 minutes after the meeting, she felt her pregnancy thing come back on her just as quickly as it left. And you begin to realize that you are being used by the Lord. It's not a bad thing. You should rejoice in that, even in our old age. There's a lot of amens out there. Even in our old age. Old age is not for sissies, by the way. Okay, Mark 11, verse 1 through 11. This is the first part in which Jesus is preparing his entry into Jerusalem. His disciples said, remember, don't go there. But anyway, he's decided to do that. He set his face towards Jerusalem. He wasn't going to turn around and walk away from what God had for him. And where did he get that? From the garden of Gethsemane. Now, when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethpage and Bethany, Mount of Olives, these are all places we're familiar with, he sent two of his disciples. They should always go out by twos, I think. Right? And he said to them, go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied on one, and no one has sat. So this is, he's never had anybody sit on it. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it. And immediately he will send it here. So they went their way and they found the colt tied by the door outside the street and they loosed it. But some of those who stood by them said, what are you doing loosing this colt? And they said to him, just as Jesus has commanded. So they let him go. Wow, can you imagine? That's a miracle in itself. Yeah. Go in a convenience store and say, the Lord has need of all this gasoline or whatever. won't work out so well, right? So they let him go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And listen to this. Many spread, there was an expectation of who Jesus was and what he was doing, not just in the Lord's heart, but there was an expectation amongst the people that this was something. This was a happening, as we used to say in the 60s. This is a happening, dude. So everybody gets involved when there's a happening, right? Sorry, that's who I was. So many spread their clothes on the road. Not something I would do unless there was a happening. Others cut down leafy branches from the trees, spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who were following cried out, saying something they should never say, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's a proclamation. That's a statement of fact. It isn't a proclamation wishing it could happen, but it's a statement of fact. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. They were worshiping the Lord, many of them, for the first time. If they have the ability in heaven to rewind the video, I want to go to a couple of places. That would be one, right? But we can actually do that in our mind as we read the Word of God. Rerun the video. See what it looks like to you. So Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. He doesn't stop along the wayside. So when he looked around at all things, as the hour was already late, he went into Bethany with the 12. Now, he knew what was going on there. But he went back to Bethany. Here's an interesting thing. So here all the multitudes are worshiping him and like laying down their clothes, branches. This is exactly what should happen when the Lord announced he's coming to the earth. This is exactly what the angels would have done. Similarly, what they did when he was born and they sang before the shepherds in the field. This is where we should be. But, there's a big but here, something went wrong. Jesus didn't see really what he wanted to see. With all of that, these are the, well, I'll get to this in a minute. Because what happens next is totally out of character. Because the Jesus I know would never do this, right? But he did it because there was something going on in the heavenlies. It says, now the next day when they came out of Bethany, he was hungry, as he normally would be, and seeing afar off a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. Not totally expecting, but perhaps. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And in response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And the disciples made note of that, said they heard it. When you have leaves, that's a good start. But what are the leaves for? The leaves are for producing fruit. And what he didn't see in Jerusalem, he saw the leaves, people throwing down the leaves. He saw the leaves, people throwing down their coats. But there was something else he was expecting. Remember, he's not granddad. He's a father. Fathers have expectation of their children. And there was an expectation Jesus had about what was going on in Jerusalem and in the church that he did not see. Well, so the next day, so they came to Jerusalem and Jesus went to the temple again and began to drive out all those who bought and sold in the temple. Overturned the tables, the money changers, and the seats of those who sold the doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. That is over. What he saw was not what he wanted to see. His expectation was that when people continued to worship and praise the Lord, that is not what he found. But he saw people making profit. So if you buy three doves, it's cheaper than two, or as almost, it's cheaper than, it'll be cheaper than three. It'll be a discount rate. And so they were making money on redemption. Can you imagine? Well, that's certainly not what Jesus is about. Then he taught. I underlined that in verse 17. It says, then he taught. Jesus doesn't do things without first giving you understanding or the ability to understand. You may not take it, but he does give you teaching about it. Then he taught, saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes, chiefs heard it. See, they're still there. And saw how they might kill him or destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished with his teachings. Were they astonished at what? His miracles? No, his teachings. But they were, being fair, impressed with his miracles as well. And evening came, and he went out of the city. Now look what happens. Now, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree all dried up from its roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. Now, the next verses are almost always taken out of context. This, the context is certainly faith, but it's faith about something that's going to change in this world. Things that are impossible to change in the natural. You can't make a fig tree produce figs if it's not producing them. And if it's not producing with them, it will be cursed and thrown away. Well, that's a pretty heavy thing. But there are things in our life, and you know as you've grown in the Lord, the Lord had no need for, and he just cut that branch off and said, that's just not you. Everybody been through that? Just me? Rabbi, look. Oh, Lord. He says to them concerning what just happened, have faith in God. For surely I say to you, church, they're not even church yet, but saying to you, church, who will be, whoever says to you, this mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, what mountain? Fig tree without leaves. A church without fruit. And does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done. And he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe, and you will receive them, and you will have them. See, the church is commissioned to have fruit. Now I'll give you a short, brief natural history of fig trees. Fig trees basically are planted, and they don't have figs for the first 4 years. They have to be a certain height. They have to have leaves for a certain time, and then they might produce fruit. Notice it says about this fig tree that it wasn't the season for figs. It wasn't time yet. You know, it doesn't matter to the Lord whether it's time yet in your life or not. You say, I'm too young. I'm not ready. I'm not studied enough. I don't know enough about the things of God. That's not the kind of response that he's looking for. You're looking at me so seriously now. He's not looking for that. And neither are the elders. When we see someone who is really, his ministry looks really good, but when there's no fruit, it's not the time for that. There's time maybe other places, but not now. And as oppression grows on the earth, can the earth get any more evil than it is today? Well, probably, but it's really bad. Oppression, killing, murder. Now, I thought about, Cheryl and I watch a lot of murder mysteries. It's probably not a good thing. I can't go in the kitchen anymore without seeing something, you know, that could possibly be a weapon. And I said, this has got to stop, right? But I thought, what would it take to actually murder people? And so I'm reading Fox News, and it was like, whoa, so this murder, I don't know what those four cyclists were doing, and they find their bodies in the river. And, you know, I was like, oh, what would it take to kill someone, to hate somebody that much, or think life was so worthless to kill and destroy? But that's happening all around us. Not only people to people, but nations to nations. And Well, I'm not the first one to say this. We're on a brink of nuclear disaster. Also, it would take us a few strategic nuclear weapons, and we could really be in big trouble. Now, I'm not saying you should practice, you know, hiding under your desk or whatever, but I'm certainly praying that the Lord would deliver us with his mercy and grace. Not curse us, but deliver us. Now, there's a difference about how I pray and the way other people pray. So I was reading about this one group saying, and during when Hurricane Ian was traveling across Florida, how people were proclaiming, and they used the word, we proclaim that Ian will turn its course and go out to the Gulf of Mexico and die in its own wind. Well, that did not happen, even as they proclaim it. Didn't happen. So do we think that the Lord makes these catastrophes, these scenarios, or is it the enemy? Well, the enemy clearly is about death and destruction. But the Lord said, remember his words, he says, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. How do we respond when the rain comes down? Rain can be a blessing, and for us it is, but rain could also be a curse, as it was with a hurricane. So I pray your will be done in my life, just like it is in heaven. First, never mind what other people are doing, but in my life, your will would be done. And his will in my life is to enjoy his joy that he put there, resident within us, no matter what the circumstances might be. So I might not like the circumstances. I'm the only one. I might not like it. But I still have not, I'm not going to turn away the joy of the Lord. I'm not going to say, that's enough. I'm giving up on the joy of the Lord, and I'm going to just be serious with God now. Well, we can be serious with the Lord, but the joy of the Lord is your strength. Is that right? Now, I have a picture of my grandson. I'm not going to show it to you. But he just looked into my eyes, and I melted, right? And it's like he's memorizing my face. And he is probably, well, he's never seen me before. And he's looking upon me, and I can hear the expression in his brain. Whoa, who's this guy? This is not my mom. This is not my dad. This is not my two sisters. Who is he? And there was wonder upon his face. It brought joy to my heart, which I impart to him again. That's the kind of father we have in heaven. No matter what circumstances we face, he gives us that kind of joy, an eternal joy that cannot be erased by the circumstance, cannot be erased by war. Listen, my parents went through World War II, and many of your parents as well. Their joy was not erased. It didn't somehow evaporate. Rather, it was commissioned for them to do some things. So it is in our life. And I think the prophetic word is clear. Take the bars off your heart and let your light shine. Let the living waters be given out through you. However it might be, conversation with somebody who's totally, completely, not saved, lost, no hope, you can give them hope. Not just with the word of God, but who you are. Because you have that joy and say, how come he's so joyful? How come this girl's so joyful? And you can share that with them because I happen to know somebody who's just more joyful than me. And when I look into his eyes, I'm full of wonder too. So therefore, whatever things you ask, when you pray, you believe them, you'll receive them and have them. So we're praying a lot for the saved, the unsaved, those who have no hope, who are lost, those who are floundering in the faith, those who are the prodigals, those who have deliberately turned away. Lord, we pray for them that you would capture their heart as you captured ours. In Matthew 21, it says, its translation of this event says, and when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how did this fig tree wither away so soon? And Jesus answered and said to them, surely I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what is done to this tree, but also if you say something, say to this mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, it will be done. Now, are there mountains? the world mountains out there, nations that need to be shifted. Maybe into the sea, but definitely shifted. It will be done. That's not saying proclaim it and name it and all that kind of stuff. But whatever things you ask in prayer, according to what? The will of the Father. His expectation. Not the will of your grandfather, but the will of the Father who has expectations on your life. So this conference that we just had was There Is No Other Foundation was the title of it. Or No Other Foundation, I think it was abbreviated. There is no other foundation that you can build on except our Lord Jesus Christ. And his lordship, his oneness with the Father, the absolute trinity of God. In John chapter 1, he says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and he was with God, is there now. And he gives us an understanding of who God is that the Muslims could never understand. In fact, they say you should fear God in a way that's not righteous fear at all, but it's one of fear and trembling, and that you should never, you don't even have the power to approach him. And oftentimes we talk about the Holy of Holies, but you know, one of the wonderful things about the Holy of Holies, he ripped the veil of the Holy of Holies so that it doesn't really exist. You live in the Holy of Holies when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no pastor you have to go through, no home group leader you have to go through. You can go directly to him. And there are going to be mountains in your life. There were mountains in my life. I'm just going to give you a short testimony. There was one of the bosses, a pathologist, I think he was there maybe 6 years, and I was in the VA for 27, so it seems like a short stint. But when I was in those 6 years, I'm telling you, it didn't seem so short. And I can remember the director of the hospital coming to me. He says, you know, your doctor came to me, and he has 63 grievances toward you. I said, what's his name, Martin Luther? What's going on here? He nailed him to the lab door. And then the director looked at me and says, yeah, the one that got me the most was, he said that you were telling jokes to some of the lab techs. Now, you can probably imagine, I don't tell dirty jokes, so it was probably more of the line of what John Ellis would share or Cheryl. You know, something very light. And I thought, really? And he said, yeah. He says, how can you put up with him? So the guy that was over him was not happy with his performance. But I had to live with this guy for, you know, every morning, every day for 6 years. And I'm a microbiologist, and he couldn't even pronounce staphylococcus. And it was like, come on. And he was standing at the, I mean, tell you a brush impression. He was standing at the door with a stopwatch. Click when you came in. And I was always there early, so no problem for me. But I had to confront him when other people would arrive. I said, we are professionals. We're not little cogs in the wheel. And if some of these girls come in, you know, at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to give them half an hour. And in fact, in government service, you can legally and rightly give people up to an hour. Well, 59 minutes. He didn't know that. So I informed him. It's probably another grievance. So all of the things that, I'm not the only one. I know this has happened to a few of you, right? Where people misunderstand, don't understand, and go crazy with things that you do and don't do. Well, you can't defend every side of what you do. And so what did Jesus do? He said, well, did you do these things? And he was silent before his accusers. So the foundation that I'm building on this morning, you know, maybe I'll go back and just review. This is a time when Jesus was not too happy about the things were going to go on in his life. He knew what the Father was doing. At this point, he definitely knew and had prophesied already that he would be crucified on the cross and be dead and buried for 3 days and be raised again. So he knew it, but he wasn't happy about the performance of his disciples. He wasn't happy about the performance of the then Jewish church. He wasn't happy about those things. His expectations were different. So he came to the cross, and I believe that there was a sadness when they spit in his face. I believe there was a sadness when they put the nails in his hands. So this was not a happy time. Yet, it says, but for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. So we're called to the same place many times in our walk with the Lord. Happily, we have seasons that are different than that. Happily, we can rejoice in many of the good things God has given us to share. And we share them in home group frequently. Why? To make us depressed? No, so that we can enjoy the Lord and each other more. I can honestly say that I've never decided and or had thoughts about killing any one of you. Why? Because I am like seriously in love with you. There is a love that relationship I have with Jesus that makes me want to love you. Makes me want to look into your eyes and say, what's going on in there? And I see things maybe you don't see from my perspective. I actually can see things prophetically that God's doing in you that are wondrous, awesome, and they're not going to leave us. You're not going to be a fig tree without fruit. I don't have to proclaim that. That's just literally true. Because he poured out his spirit in you for that purpose. Amen? Now, John 1:5-14, I'll end with this one. We have confidence, which we had before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. So if you're standing in need this morning in your life, and you would like to have the joy of the Lord, and you don't know how to go forward, I want you to join with me in this prayer. If you think proclaiming is not enough, I want you to join me in this prayer. If you've been pushing against the rock and the rock isn't moving, Cheryl will tell you it's not about the rock, it's about you. He's getting you ready for something else. So, Father, we come before you. Lord, we know that when you were writing these words down through the hand of Mark, John Mark, that there was something you wanted to say to us in this day, 2022, fast approaching 2023. What oppression we find upon the earth and in our lives directly affected. What lack of mercy, lack of understanding, ignorance of the Creator, ignorance of biological laws and function, seemingly ignorant of anything that's worthy. But Lord, we have come to you first that we might know the things around us more clearly. We ask you, Lord, to forgive us, to give us your strength to walk through the trials you have set for us, before us. That we would not only come out victorious in you, but we wouldn't even smell like smoke or fire. But on us would be the smell of rejoicing. The joy that's in your heart every day for us. In Jesus' name, amen.